condominium tower on a three-story podium. Abigail Fowl is staff.
Hi.
All right. Where is Abigail?
I think she went to.
She went home.
They got food that'll be real next time.
Turkey sandwiches and some wine. You'll be asleep by the time we're done.
It's all yours, Abigail. You can get going when you're ready.
Okay, so this is EA 07168536. It is a design advice request for the Cosmopolitan building. So the site is located in the Lloyd District. It's a half block site between Northeast Holiday, which the light rail runs along, and Northeast Haslow, and then the long side of the property is along Northeast Grand. You can see the Kaiser Permanente building sits just to the north, and then the convention center to the southwest. So zoning is CXD, central commercial with design overlay. We are in the Central City Plan District, and like I said, in the Lloyd Subdistrict. The FAR allowed is 12-1 for the base, with up to 15-1 total using bonuses. The allowed maximum height outright is 250, but you can get up to 225 using the housing height bonus. Approval criteria would be the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines and then the design guidelines for the Lloyd District. Additionally, one thing I want to point out is that if you are to use the housing height bonus, there is additional approval criteria that does need to be met. And then obviously approval criteria for any modifications or adjustments. So some site photos. This is on Grand, looking northeast at Holiday. And the site is just this vacant lot here, half block site, Kaiser building to the north, and the Cascadian Court condominiums adjacent to the property. Then moving on to Holiday and looking more northwesterly, the site here on the right side of Holiday, the Red Lion Inn just across Northeast Grand, Cascading Court condominiums adjacent to the property. Then kind of moving around the block, this is at the northeast corner of the block. And so the site is just sort of behind these trees here. So you can see the Cascading Court building here. And then there's an existing two-story commercial building at this northeast corner. Then standing on Haslow looking east, I'm on the east side of Grand in this location. You can see the site here on the right side of Haslow. Then on Grand, just north of the site, looking south, the site here on the left-hand side, Red Lion Inn on the right. And then this is back on Holiday, but on the west side of Grand, Red Lion Inn on the left, and then the site just beyond Grand on the left as well. So to summarize the proposal, this is a 31-story mixed-use development. It basically includes a three-story podium that fills the half-block property, and then a 28-story on top of that story tower on top of that. That's more about quarter block. The proposal will include about 240 residential units, as well as retail at the ground floor level. The FAR proposes is getting close to about 15 to 1, which is the maximum. And the applicant intends to utilize the residential bonus. Height proposed is 325, so that will take advantage of that housing bonus height. Parking and loading, within the podium, there will be two above-grade parking levels on levels 2 and 3. And then there will be four below-grade parking levels. So the proposed number of spaces is about 220 at this time. And then there will be one interior loading space. And both parking and loading will be accessed off Northeast Hassalo. So the site plan here, half block site, and you can see there's two parking entrances, one for the ramp up going to the upper levels and then one for the ramp going down to the lower levels, and then the one loading space, and then mostly retail along Grand with the main residential entrance at the corner of Grand and Holiday, and then also more retail along Holiday. So this is just a quick show of the typical parking level above grade, just to show that most of the parking stalls right now are being shown pretty internal to the building, with these along the sort of back edge of the inner lot line. So the circulation is more along the outer edge of the building. And then this is just more of a typical tower floor plan, just again showing that the tower again is only kind of more of a quarter block proportion. So potential modifications are really a result of this sort of half block dimension and having a lot of parking and vehicle access along this edge. So ground floor windows potentially need to be modified due to the reduction of window length and area along Hassalo. Same with the ground floor active uses, again, reduction in the amount of active use along that edge, as well as modification to allow backward motion for the loading space. And then also potential adjustment due to the fact that two loading spaces are required. However, the applicant this time is only proposing one full-size space. So possible discussion topics would be talking about the bonus height to allow the up to 325 above the 250 that's allowed outright, and that additional height requiring that additional approval criteria. And then also discussion about the above grade parking levels and the design of those, as well as the design of the podium roof area. And then also some discussion potentially about the parking and loading access and all the building services along Northeast Hassalo, and those related potential modification and adjustment to reduce ground floor windows and active uses, as well as allow backward loading motion and reduce the number of loading spaces. And then any additional topics you'd like to discuss. So that ends my presentation.
Questions for staff?
On the additional FAR granted and the additional height, is that based on housing use? Is that the...
Yes.
Okay. So you qualify once you... I mean, if...
Well, the FAR, you qualify just for residential use. The height bonus, you have to meet this additional approval criteria that's in the code. And it talks about, you know, view corridors and those kinds of impacts.
Okay.
So it's in addition to the guidelines that we would have to address those.
Okay.
Tim? Just a quick question. How much work have you done together with the applicant so far?
None, really. This is what you've seen is what I've looked at, and we haven't worked on the design at all, really.
Okay.
The information submitted has been fairly limited up until this point.
Other questions? Okay. I'll turn it over to you guys.
All right. Good evening. First of all, I'd like to thank you for your dedication and your time tonight. I'd like to reiterate this is a design advice request. I'm Tom Gibbons. I'm the project architect for LRS Architects, 720 Northwest Davis, Portland, Oregon, 97209. With me tonight is Gary Minizewski. He is our urban planner, also at LRS Architects. Briefly, the Cosmopolitan Tower is a commitment to density and value. The project is endorsed by the Portland Development Commission, and it fulfills the goal of establishing high-density residential development on a currently vacant half-block site in the Lloyd District. I'd like to thank Abigail for a thorough summary and summation of the points that we'd like to talk about tonight. I don't need to go into a great length of detail. I don't feel I need to go into a great length of detail describing the site. I think it should be familiar to all of us. It is on Grand Avenue between Holiday and Hassalo, and it is directly adjacent to the Cascadian Court condominiums. In addition to the material that we have submitted, we are in early schematic design, and we are just fleshing out the sculptural form of the tower and some of the treatments that we are studying. What we're hoping to get this evening is some constructive discussion about materials, how we're addressing the guidelines, some of the goals we're trying to achieve with the forms, given the program that we have. The program is pretty straightforward. It's a development agreement with the PDC for 204 or more units. The size of the units will vary from studios and one bedrooms up to two bedrooms and some larger penthouse units in the top two floors. Affordability is a term I've put in quotes in all my descriptions. They're looking for value-oriented development that makes some of these condominium homes affordable to buyers. Those are definitions in our development agreement with the PDC, and it goes into a description on how a certain amount of units should meet affordability standards for median income family, and those figures are available on through the PDC website for what they consider to be those numbers. But for our purposes, 41% are asked to be one-bedroom or studio units to meet some of those affordability criteria. We are mixing then, one bedroom, some studios, and some two bedrooms on virtually all floors of the building, with the smaller units concentrated on the lower level floors to help balance the building in terms of being able to produce it relative to construction cost, given the fact that we want to try and maintain a level of affordability for as great a number of units as possible. The building services and access entries for vehicles, trash collection, and the loading zone located on Hassalo Street comes from two particular quirks about this site. One is that Holiday is the max line, and there's no vehicular access allowed off of Holiday. Grand is a pedestrian way. We are adhering to dedication to increase the sidewalk to 15 feet. That's in agreement with PDOT. And the arterial is also scheduled for the east side streetcar, Portland streetcar loop. So we didn't want to try and complicate that situation with the vehicular traffic. The problem of having parking located within the base of the building in a structure for levels above grade as well as below means we are forced into having two ramps, and that means two bi-directional in and out parking entries. So that broadens what we have to do on Hassalo to have a ramp up and a ramp down. The mandate for parking is market driven. We're still in the central city. We do not have a regulatory issue of providing parking. the building is predominantly and primarily a residential tower. And the provision for commercial space at the street level is to address the active use guidelines and street frontage enhancement that is an opportunity. We see it as an opportunity for this building to provide. To try and trade that off, we moved everything onto the north side to limit the amount of interruption that we would otherwise have. And in so doing, we have limited the active use frontage to the corner at Hassalo and Grand. We have approximately some 20 feet of active use frontage on the corner at Hassalo, on the Hassalo Street side, until we get into the more service elements of the building as we've planned it to date. We have used the approach that the trade-off of having such density of service elements on the one side is offset by having almost 100% dedication to active use on Grand Avenue, and again on Holiday, where the only non-active use facade will be a ventilation grill and an egress door, both located at mid-block. We are planning to qualify the building for sustainability certification of some kind, or some green building certification. We are reluctant to say a LEED certification level at this time. LEED's proprietary. We may or may not actually get that, but we certainly will qualify. If we do go with LEED, we will be qualifying at either silver or gold. The site is ripe for good sustainable design. We plan to incorporate, of course, a green roof for stormwater management on the podium as part of the amenities deck for the residents. We have in our current plan roughly 9,000 to 10,000 square feet in two major spaces for active use, commercial or retail tenant space. The two floors above that are for parking, and as you can see in the plan exhibits, circulation dictated pretty much how we had to lay that out in terms of where the parking spaces can go, where the vehicle access in two-way drive aisles can be accommodated. We're pleased to say we're not asking for any consideration of deviation from Portland parking standards. Those are being met. The advantage that we have with the circulation plan that we came up with was that we can articulate the facade on the street sides so that it's not just a screen rail parking element. We intend to include inserts and articulations of some sort on the podium base. At this time, we are just studying the beginning of the materials. We are looking at the Lloyd District design standards that are asking for light-colored masonry or stone materials. So we're probably going to have a precast clad element that will cover the structure and be the face of the building on the podium level. The tower itself will be predominantly window wall. The form of the building, we are attempting to pursue a glazed corner element that will top out as a parapet that's part of the mechanical screening, and we would envision the top of that as a lantern lit from within at night. The glazed element reflects a gesture towards the convention center and the verticality of this type of building, the Point Tower. And it's most likely going to be window wall, although we will like to try and keep it as flush-faced as possible on that particular corner of the building. And the rest of the building will be more standardized window wall with articulated operable awning windows, patio doors, and so forth. Our residential program includes exterior balconies for all units. And at that point, we are achieving most of that at this time, and we are intent on cladding the remaining portion of the mechanical screening at the top. Swiss pearl or a cement board has been suggested to date for the mechanical screen at the top of the building, but our intention is to tie a color with a texture at the mechanical screen at the top of the building to integrate the design with the podium base, to just kind of give it a more holistic approach. When it comes to the FAR and the bonus height, that's why we're here. This is design advice request. Our approach is trying not to be kitschy or mocking with the top of the building. We recognize the prominent nature of this building in its context. We are excited by the fact that there are other high-rises in the immediate vicinity that we can reflect on and respond to and will be part of in terms of the fabric and the context. The, what did I call it yesterday, Gary? The composition of the neighborhood. The loading standard calls for one space if we have more than 20 residential 20, units.
Right.
The second part of the loading space standard says that for developments over 50,000 square feet, if they're mixed use, they should be two spaces. Since we only have one floor that's non-residential use, we don't feel there's an extra burden on providing an off-street loading space by only having the one. Once the building is loaded, then the residents will just be limited to moving in or moving out or specific deliveries, and we feel that the one space should adequately address that need with the potential commercial tenant need for the ground floor space. But that is a request. Back in off of Haslow is also a request. It's still a central city location. The density of the neighborhood and so forth makes that a desirable aspect. Mechanical equipment will be on the roof of the tower, so we are looking at the top of the tower. We are cognizant of the meeting the criteria for getting the residential bonus height, and we are cognizant of the height as it actually will be on this location and next to the adjacent towers and so forth. It's difficult to limit mechanical screening to 16 feet as spelled out in the ordinances for a cooling tower that will probably be located up adjacent to the elevator overrun. So we want some feedback on how best to qualify for those, meet those criteria. And we think we can do it. We just recognize that we do have to qualify for that. And finally, the active use standard, we are providing active use on the corner at Holiday so that we're not, I mean, at Haslow, excuse me, so that we're not providing just a dead intersection or a blank wall. And the Haslow street facade won't be a blank wall at the street level. Unfortunately, it just will have some garage doors of some kind. We're not far along enough in our design studies to determine whether there'll be a glazed overhead door with translucent glazing at the loading dock or whether there'll be mechanical grills or whether there'll be a gate. We haven't made those determinations yet. I was going to say, with that, our intention is simply to solicit the feedback and get at least whatever we can out of what we have to show you for this DAR.
Okay. Questions?
Yeah, Tom, some real simple questions here. What's your floor plate size?
7,800 square feet.
7,800. And is that pretty consistent all the way up to the top of the building?
Yes, it is. The top penthouse levels of the building will likely have larger terraces, reducing the interior space, but in effect, it's 7,800 feet all the way up.
Okay. Then could you just briefly give the overall dimensions of the floor plate as well, just kind of the north-south direction, the east-west? I know that you got stair steps. You don't have to...
Oh, yeah. No, it's not a problem. We are approximately 104 feet in the north-south direction, and we are, I believe, 78 feet in the east-west direction.
Okay. Thank you.
At the widest.
Okay. Any other questions?
I do have one more question.
Jeff.
Just to kind of clarify, you use the term window wall. Are you are you using that as specifically window wall, or would there be curtain wall in this as well? Are you trying to avoid curtain wall?
Jeff, we're not trying to avoid curtain wall.
Well, but is somebody trying to avoid curtain wall due to expense?
Yes, it's expensive. Okay. We'd like to include curtain wall, but we're approaching it as if it's all window wall based on our cost analysis.
Okay.
Okay, and questions, we can have an open dialogue here a bit. Sure. If you have more questions, this is informal. Yeah. That's great. I don't have any forms here for testimony. If there's anyone in the audience that would like to testify, you need to come forward now. Okay, there's no one. So why don't we go through our list here and have a conversation about the building. If there are any other elements here that the commission wants to comment on.
I just had a quick question. I think I didn't look at the photograph carefully as it was going by. What's the nature of the other building? What's going on the street level for the existing building on 6?
The Cascadian, small one?
Other one, yeah.
The little
what's
small
the
office building.
What's the street feeling there?
It's a former industrial-style warehouse building that's a commercial office building.
Yeah. Okay.
It has structural bays that have been glazed for vision glass. It has a main entry on 6. I believe it's on 6. They have a secondary entry on Haslow. And the second story is essentially vision glazed throughout the second floor with just windows.
Okay.
I got a quick question.
Ben.
We have received a letter from a neighbor in the Cascadian. I think it's always on. But and what's the history? It used to, the Cascadian was going to do a tower there, wasn't it? And then was it bought by a new developer? And was that?
My understanding is pretty weak about the nature of the Cascadian 2 development. My understanding to date is that the Cascadian Court was phase 1, and that they were going to work with the FAR and do things to produce the Cascadian 2, phase 2 development on this half block. Mm-hmm. And for reasons I'm unaware of, the Cascadian phase 2 did not come to fruition.
So it's a different developer now? It's not.
Yes, completely. And the PDC then had control of the site, and it's Weston Investment Company.
Okay. Who wants to start? Well, Gwen?
Everyone at once. well, I'll be honest, I need to go over there and look at the drawing, so I reserve the right to continue to comment. But I think that it's a little early to give a lot of advice. For me, I'll be interested in seeing your sense of the lantern effect and nighttime views. I think there can be a impulse to go a little bit over the top with that and want to make sure that whatever you end up doing is sort of a softer, you know, make the building stand out certainly, but not too much. I would, based on just what I'm seeing from over here, I would keep clean and simple in mind, you know, play with adding and subtracting elements and thinking about kind of a cleanliness. There can be a lot of beauty in really clean lines, and just want to caution you from going too far with too many materials or too many lines or too many moves. And so I would keep that in mind. Where did you say you might use Swiss pearl or a cement board? Was it up
on
way
the mechanical
up top?
Screen on the top of the
on
tower?
On the top, yeah. I was thinking maybe more that it seems like kind of a more towards the ground floor and more of a background material. It doesn't necessarily seem like a good topping material to me. But, you know, where a metal or something a little bit more robust on a building this tall might seem more appropriate. If you're going to stick with that type of material, though, Swiss pearl would be preferable to any kind of cement board. I think the on the ground floor, it's the right idea to use Haslow, obviously. I mean, that's the street to do it. There's no other good option for you, really. And I think how it ties to the building next door and how sensitively you treat those openings, I would probably recommend glazing as opposed to screen or gate, in that if you do go towards screen or gate, and even maybe even thinking about glazing, think about just those first few feet into the garage and what they look like. Also, because you have such an intense area of use, I didn't get a chance to really digest the parking plan, but that you allow for some sort of, you're not having any kind of public parking here, right? It's just for the...
It is strictly the residential parking.
Yeah, but you allow queuing. A little queuing would be good to get in and out of the building if necessary. Design of the podium roof, I don't know. What do you want to do?
From the top of the podium, it's, at this point, we haven't gotten into the details of landscaping. It's on our other tower project, we have just now got the landscape plan ratified for the design review package we're putting together. But we do know we're going to have a bit of a landscape garden terrace area for common use for the residents in conjunction with an interior multipurpose lounge for their own meetings or parties or what have you. And the remainder of the podium roof will be given over to simply eco-roof greenscaping. What form that takes in terms of a visual amenity, there will be some patterning to it. We're going to be very selective in our plant materials. There may be some shrubbery. Designers keep wanting to put some kind of trees on it.
Okay. Is there a? How does that relate to the Cascadian?
It's above it, just slightly.
Just above it, okay.
It's the top line of our parapet is at their fourth floor as well. And their interior court common space is on their second floor.
Okay.
Okay. Other comments? I'm not just going around, but...
Okay. I'll comment. Well, you know, it's quite interesting what's happening now. We've got a commissioner here that's involved in a project in this district as well that I can't recall if it's been approved yet or not, but I think it's one of these days going to happen. Sorry, Paul. Any day.
More than happy to.
I think what's quite exciting, though, is that... you know, this area saw quite a bit of development in the 60s and probably into the 70s, and there's been grandiose plans put forth by large property owners in the district. And it's nice to see finally that there are developers that have come in from outside of this district that are getting kind of stakes in this and kind of pushing things forward, I guess. And I think what's even more exciting for the city in terms of its skyline and you know, kind of this bridging the gap, so to speak, that the river presents for everybody, is that now we're starting to see a collection of buildings that really stretches over from the Lloyd District and sweeps all the way around from through the Pearl and down to South Waterfront. And it's creating quite a dynamic change to Portland's skyline. So I think a tall tower in this position is the appropriate thing for this neighborhood, and I would be in full support of the 325 feet for that alone. I will only throw out one caution, since there has been a case in the last year or so on the west side where additional FAR and height really became a sticking point with some of the neighbors. So would certainly encourage you, as I'm hoping that you've already done, but getting in and meeting with TMA and meeting with neighborhood associations and taking that off the table, hopefully, and trying to help facilitate that. So that said, I'll have to reserve my right on that extra height. I mean, I'm in full support of the idea. I just want to see what that bonus truly is so that we don't end up getting caught down the road where this gets thrown into a political squabble and nobody's happy with the results. The materials overall seem nice. I guess I have a concern on that kind of front corner when you say window wall, based on where your renderings are right now and the concept which is curtain wall. I mean, you're trying to represent curtain wall. And it kind of falls in line with what Gwen said in terms of, detailing and keeping this a nice, clean, crisp building. And, so I think as a design team really fighting, to get that, at least that expression on the corner, I think that's very important. Or else you're really going to have to sharpen your pencil and do things with window wall that I think we all try to do. But we all know the results. It's not the same. So I'm hoping that that as you price this thing in the future and with our quote-unquote pending recession, maybe pricing is going to become such that you might be able to get that curtain wall in. I think it's very important for this project. Overall, the form, I think, is nice. The 7,800-square-foot floor plate is amazing. I don't think anybody's got it down to that yet. So I know you're paying a price for that as well. The fact that you're providing parking one-to-one, I think, is probably appropriate in this area, primarily to do with Rose Quarter. Seems like on event nights, that parking, and with conventions, that parking can kind of spread eastward. And although you have a plethora of transportation options around here, I mean, keeping your cars off the street, I think, is probably advisable for this district. We've seen a lot of great designs for podiums and roof gardens and all that type of stuff come through here, and it's getting to be a standard anymore, where it used to be quite the exception. And because you have that lower podium, I know you're going to get a lot of support from this commission on coming up with creative solutions for that podium and taking care of your stormwater management. So I'd get your landscape architect engaged here soon and really study that. And I think the other modifications are very supportable. The probably the toughest one that seems like anybody has in this area is when you do get to these short facades and you have to load all your parking and loading on that area. But it does seem like it's something that we've been able to kind of get to on other projects. And because of the conditions around there, I think that that's doable. But I think you just have to be very sensitive to that north facade, both with how you detail your garage doors, and really don't downgrade that facade just because it's parking and loading in that sense. I mean, just really being careful about that. And if there's other things that you can kind of come up with to help soften that, I think that would be great. And I can support loading spaces from 1 to 2. You may want to look at a smaller second loading space down in the basement if you haven't already kind of thought about that, but just for service vehicles and stuff like that, that you have a dedicated area down there. Additionally, I'm not quite, I guess it goes back up to the top of the building the overhang that you've got on that area and how it screens mechanically and how it relates to that front kind of corner as well. I think that there's a potential for a real exciting space up there. I don't know if that's all reserved for one penthouse, but someday I'm hoping some developer out there will decide that it's time to go up and do something fun that's a more public nature, like whether a restaurant or something like that. Or a greater amenity for the building tenants as well. But it seems ripe for something like that there, particularly with its incredible view back towards the city and its incredible view back towards the other new tower that's going into the district as well. So excited to see this development going in this area.
If I can respond just
a second. I'm sorry. That was a much of a discussion.
No, it's great. That's what we're here for. I would like just to make a couple of points here so that, y'all don't have to say that. We have met with every available group that I didn't even know existed in the neighborhood. The Lloyd District Community Association, the Elliott Neighborhood Association, Sullivan's Gulch Neighborhood Association, Irvington Neighborhood Association, the MLK Urban Renewal Action Committee, the Oregon Convention Center Urban Renewal Action Committee,
Yes, the Lloyd District Transportation Management Association, Portland Streetcar Inc., and in fact, we convened a special meeting with the Cascadian Court Condo Homeowners Association. Yeah. We received unanimous support. Everybody's excited about this building. Everybody's excited that it's going into the district. The Cascadian folks are very excited about the nature of having neighbors and really building residential density into their neighborhood. We don't have any particular negative comments that have come out of any of those discussions. We have had some discussion about parking. The Transportation Management Association is in favor of us providing what amounts to car storage for our residents. And I think it's important as designers and as planners and developers that while we'll encourage using mass transit, using transportation alternatives, we are providing bike storage for the residents that's going to exceed the required one per four units. Just relative to the earlier discussion I was witness to today, outside our main entry lobby on the corner underneath an overhang is where we intend to have our visitor bike parking. So we encourage use of bicycles for commuting. Drawing the distinction between owning a car and using a car is, I think, fundamental to the discussion. Our parking is for storing the cars that the residents will own, and it's a market-driven mandate. So trying to minimize the impact of that on the site is our goal. And toward that end, we've had discussions in addition to all of these groups and specifically with the help of the TMA with the facilities director at the Kaiser Tower. And they don't see any problem with the fact that their service loading porte-cochere is on Hassalo as well. So we haven't had any conflicts identified or any problems identified with that.
Great. Thanks, Tom. Other comments?
Good job.
Andy.
Okay. Well, Jeff, earlier someone said approvals are easy to get.
Approvals?
Yeah.
I guess I was out of the room at that
point.
You weren't in here. You weren't in here for that one. Regarding the height, I can easily get to the height. I want to see, what the gesture might be to towards helping get there. You've already made a very good step of having a very small floor plate. So I think that's a good way towards getting there. Like Jeff said, maybe some kind of a public space up there. We haven't really seen that in a while. It would have a stunning view of the town all around and across the river. Regarding the design of the above grade parking, if you had the privilege to sit through some of the earlier things since 1:30, there was a pretty good graphic showing what the 75-foot wide and 80-foot wide double access points are like and how they were able to accomplish it. Granted, they didn't have a ramp up and down. So maybe you can, maybe say a word or two why you can't put it all down or put it all up and skinny that up. And I'm wondering, are you going to ventilate the parking spaces? So it's kind of shown as glass, or is that grating, grid?
It's a grid grating at this time to provide. It's intended as to the base of the building to read as an element so that we have a building line established and that those two stories read as a unifying base to the building and the complex as a whole. But the idea was to be able to provide inserts that are either a perf screen, metal screen, could be phenolic wood slats. I don't know. We're not that far along, but it's intended to be slightly pervious and translucent to a certain extent. With regard to the ramp up and ramp down question, we're going down 3.5 stories.
Okay.
And so it's the cost of providing 220 spaces. 204 units in this tower is higher than the density in the tower that we're also working on. It's the other site. providing the parking, as I said, is trying to achieve the one-to-one. We may not even get that. We're at, right now, I believe, 222 stalls. If we have enough, then we're not trying to achieve more than that. We're not providing visitors parking. It's all for the residents. So we're trying to minimize the construction cost of having that parking as part of this building.
All right. That's a big area, and then you throw on the services, and you know it gets to be a pretty good chunk of use there that's not going to be active. Regarding the podium roof, I think you have good goals for that area. Some program space up there would probably be for the residents or whatever would be nice because it is relatively low podium and you could get some visual connection to the ground. The ground floor window active use, that's kind of tied to my earlier comment, and you know I think let's try and work on that a little bit. That's one of the points that I'm a little has some reservations about. The rest of them are pretty straightforward, and I don't have a issue with that. And I like the texture and of the base and the top you have shown. It's a little bit different than the one in this thing kind of looks like some of the other buildings we've seen around.
Yeah, the illustration that we had at the time we submitted our application was simply a mass model.
Yeah.
We've been able to further delineate it. Texture is the implication that we want to get across here, whether it's metal panel or some other kind of a panel. Using a panelized construction for that mechanical screen up there and trying to tie the color to the masonry-oriented base is our intent.
Okay.
That's it. Others?
Yeah. Cool site. Nice project, nice scale. I think could fit very well there. And in that light, I would support the 325 feet of height. No qualms about that, particularly with the small floor plate. The design of the above grade parking levels. I just did doing a little math here, and you're building two levels of above grade parking to achieve fewer stalls than you're getting on one of your maxed out levels below grade. Looking at the square footage per stall, I think it's you've got. This is a design flaw, I think, is that there's way too much circulation relative to the number of stalls, and I think the above grade parking that you've got is actually has the potential to be more expensive than adding a floor below grade parking, and I think that's something you ought to explore. On your first floor above grade, you're over 1,000 square feet per stall. On your second floor above grade, you're over 600 square feet per stall. Your square footage ratios are much, much stronger below grade. And I'm just guessing that while it's expensive as all hell, it might be a lot more efficient to get one of your big floor plates below grade. That would present some opportunities for you. It would present some opportunities for perhaps some variety of units in your podium, more residential units. Different residential units, allowing you potentially to sculpt the tower even further on the upper floors and still reach your unit counts. You've still got to put a roof over that, all of that. So a green roof, terrace level, a project you might look at in terms of diagrammatically how it works is the Metropolitan in terms of the way that they use their podium. With some mixed uses, some office space, some live-work kind of opportunity space, as well as a guest suite on that level for guests of the owners in the building. Just ideas, but I just see that it looks to me like there's an economic, that you're going to get hit over the head with an economic hammer.
As a design team, we're really cringing every time we actually look at the second level. Because of that very factor, Tim. I'll just say that
yeah,
for
just,
the record here. We are still studying it.
Yeah, I'm anticipating that's where you'll end up, or that you'll be able to change the configuration of the parking, get a whole lot more cars up there or something, and maybe the podium changes to one floor of parking above grade. I don't know. The other motivation in this is it would reduce your driveway width. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I was looking at is, you know, could you push your driveways in one bay and do a transition where you're collecting either in or out traffic, probably out traffic, into, you know, a middle lane or something like that to reduce the width of that opening, realizing there, you know, there's in the future, there's going to be a lot more pedestrian activity in Lloyd Center in that whole district. And a 45-foot wide driveway with a loading bay next to it is still a pretty big gap and something to look at. The other thing is, in terms of your parking, have you looked at anything in the way of kind of the simpler automated parking, the stackers for, you know, the lifts for your two-bedroom,
Yes, we've looked at, Joe's definitely looked at the parking stackers, and we have discussed actually integrating that into the levels where it can be accommodated with height.
Yep.
Specifically for the larger units or the penthouse units that would, by market, look to have two spaces. It helps the density of cars. It doesn't help on the unit count parking, but it does help, and we have looked at that.
Well, that might help to mitigate some of the things with your neighbors next door who are interested in seeing you provide lots of parking. It can be an economical way to do that.
Since you're on the parking, Tim, the one thing I might add is that you might want to take a look at Grand and see if you could get 10 to 12 feet underneath the sidewalk to expand that. You could go...
Under Grand? We're planning to expand underneath the sidewalk what PDOT allows under the right of way under the pedestrian walkway.
Yeah.
We won't be able to expand under the streetway.
No, I meant under the sidewalk.
But we are expanding to do that. As Tim pointed out, we believe our below grade layouts are pretty efficient. It's the upper level ones that are not. And the problem with the ramps that we've encountered is that to achieve the clearances we need for accessible parking on at least the first level down, going down from Haslow is 4 feet higher than Holiday, so we have to go the extra length, so the ramp is extra long. To achieve the upper deck height to maintain our 12 feet clear for active use space on all sides and the 13 feet at the loading bay, the second floor is extra high, so that ramp is extra long. Those are the reasons why we even have two ramps in the first place, rather than trying to consolidate them in a more efficient circulation manner, is simply that our first floor and the first floor below grade mandate that the ramps have to reach a certain height, and it's the length of those ramps. We're at 16% right now, and taking them to 17 or 17.5%, pushing the envelope, doesn't shorten them dramatically. We are looking at it, though, I can assure you that.
Well, I've got another motivation here, too, though, is seeing you guys go back and really look hard at this parking, make it more efficient, more economical, will take the budget pressure, hopefully, a little bit off the skin of the building, because, you're just barely getting into the design of the building, and you're already sort of kind of squeezing the materials down to the need to squeeze the materials and the detailing down to the bottom budget dollar at this point. And I think that's something that we're going to look pretty hard at here, is how the window wall and the materials come together, that the railings and how the railings are detailed, that this is a big building. It's looking for a modification to height, a significant bonus height. And it needs to be a high-quality building in terms of the way the materials and detailing come together. I noticed looking at your drawings, a bunch of notes about decorative lighting on the exterior. Go easy on it.
Yeah.
Let the building glow from the interior, let the spaces glow, as they would naturally, and the building will be very interesting. A lot of exterior lighting, a little bit goes a long way. The skin detailing is going to be a huge issue. I think you've done a good job of wrapping the commercial space around two of the sides of the building. I think that the driveway situation can get better, and I think when you look harder at this thing, that above-grade parking may actually just disappear, and you may end up with some other uses up there, which would make, I think, having a greater mixed-use sense of this project would make it richer in that particular environment. And that's all I've got. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
I'm going to call on people now at the end here.
Thank you, Lloyd. Tim took my automotive comments. Looking at it, I would just mirror Tim's comments on the garage and garage spacing, especially on the upper floors. If you continue with the upper floor, parking would definitely be key on how you screen that and how that works. Active use, it's in a very active area, hopefully, to be even more active. So look to that as a key component for your streetscape. The garage doors, loading dock areas, look to that being of a real quality design in lieu of losing active space for that. Materials looks extremely exciting with at least the drawings, renderings that you've put forward so far. Again, would echo other commissioners about finding some possible roof, active roof use, public, if at all possible, especially in light of the views from this building. Lighting, again, I asked Lloyd if this is in the convention center, and Abigail, you might. Lloyd said this is in the convention center design guidelines.
It's part of the Lloyd District design guidelines. Yeah,
is it also part of the convention center?
There aren't separate design guidelines. The Lloyd District has its special design guidelines in the central city, but there is a study that we worked on.
That's what I'm referring.
Which is the Oregon Convention Center area urban design plan.
And that's what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
I couldn't say specifically, Paul, but okay.
It's a PDC
pretty darn
plan.
Close.
It doesn't have guidelines, but.
But again,
it should complement that.
That's where I was going to get it. It should complement those guidelines. So if you've not looked at those guidelines, I would recommend that you do look at them, especially since this is in close proximity to the convention center.
Definitely.
Nightscape, night lighting, especially with both districts really emphasizing night lighting. I would agree with Tim. Do it, but do it in a way that complements them. So those, I think, on the bonus height, look to how you get to it, and you are looking for a fair amount of height and all that. So really, would look to those bonuses and whatever. On how you get there to make sure that we can approve it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Ben?
I live over in this area, too. I'm excited about it. I think it's a great calling card for the Lloyd area, which has needed that for quite a while, in my opinion. And it's good to see everybody proceeding over there, particularly residentially. And I agree with Tim that it would be interesting to lead that line a little farther, even between MLK or Grand and to the east, and have that first few floors as mixed as possible. I thought it'd be kind of interesting if the upper levels were even commercial use as opposed to parking. I've always kind of had a hang up with upper parking. But height, I'm completely behind. 325 feet, I think it's great. I don't think you'll affect any of the neighbors. We do have one letter here from a Cascadian neighbor who has a bit of an issue with a few things, but you guys, I'm sure, will address those. I think that it's interesting. I think that in the elevations, as you mentioned, to go from the ones we had in the packet, and then as they get more and more articulated, I'm kind of a fan for the simpler elevation. But we'll see how that flushes out in the with the porch details and how they interact with the window, and whether it's a window wall or a curtain wall system. But I think it's really exciting. And I think some simple, just in the floor plan, first ground floor plan, feels like even if you just slide the loading dock over onto the other street, might decrease the load on that north elevation with all those entries. And it seems, just a couple sketches here, it seems like an easy, from what I know of it, seems like a relatively easy move. The up and down ramps, it looks complicated, but I was wondering if you end up having to have them, if you could have come into the building and then split the up and down ramps to decrease that. Seems like it would consume another 20 by 40 square feet of your entry, but you may be able to come in then split the up and down ramps if you needed to decrease that to get more wind storefront. But I think it's great. So good luck.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Ben. I'll go through these quickly. One is going at the larger plan area. I think there needs to be more of an analysis or discussion of the context. Headquarter hotel going in, kitty corner, small motel across the street, and then, of course, you've got Kaiser. And I mean, there's quite a context that you're building within, and I think that should be part of your story.
Okay.
And explain why this building in this configuration and how you've articulated it makes sense at this location. Okay. I think it's part of the whole evolution of your design thinking as to why this building works. The bonus, if you look at the Lloyd District Development Strategy, this was a key piece of that strategy. For the first time since the Lloyd District had, emerged from the Central City Plan, housing became an area of emphasis in the Lloyd District. And really what you're doing is you're doing what I call residential pioneering. Because even though the Merrick was built and there are some retirement complexes in that area and some smaller housing projects, that district is still relatively vacant of housing and residential. And consequently, it's a dead area. And I know that in that district, residential is a major area of emphasis. And in some respects, that alone would drive greater density and more height and all the things that come with that. That being said, I think you have a pretty tall order architecturally, because I think when we start looking at coherency and we look at continuity and materials and things, I mean, you're stacking up against the Liberty Mutual, the Merrick, the Broadway, Irvington townhouses, the headquarter hotel, even the convention center. If you look at the materials and the quality of architecture, regardless of scale or texture or finer design elements, the quality of materials are pretty high. And I think I second everything Tim said in terms of the parking. And I was looking to find you more space under the sidewalk, but you already mined that out. Screens in this district are just, screens are tough on the second and third floor. They're real tough, especially when you stack it up against Liberty Mutual and, even the Lloyd Towers when they were done. I mean, The architecture there is a pretty high quality, and so screens are pretty tough. The only one that I know that we've really approved yet is the Merrick, and that was on the back side, you know, on a lower level on a back side of that building.
Okay.
But all the ground floor and everything on that building is all pretty much storefront brick facade. Let's see. I think the north side, I think Tim, everybody's pretty much hit that right on the head. I think Tim's idea to consolidate, go down. I think probably by the time you add up the facade, the reconfiguration, the additional costs for going up, I hope that you find the path to getting that parking underground and then making sure Hassel is a really active little street in there. Because even though there is service in the porte cochere on the Lloyd 500 building is on the south side.
It's still active.
It's active. And there's a building entrance there and there's retail and all of that kind of stuff. It's sort of an old international style, sort of almost a suburban tower configuration, but with more active uses across that whole area becomes more lively, and they reinforce and build on each other. And I think that's important. The podium. Oh, I just want to say that where you're putting the parking and everything is absolutely the right place from my perspective. The podium, I think not only the north, but you have the area in between the old Cascadian. Mm-hmm. Or the Cascadian and the new Cosmopolitan.
Yes.
That area in there is all part of that. It should be, you know, active, mm-hmm. as well as do your stormwater. I think you could have a very dynamic kind of rooftop. Parking and loading, I'm cool with all that. Additional items, again, materials, even the Cascadian. It's going to be tough to do screens.
Oh, I agree.
On two levels of parking, it's going to be real tough to make that happen, and make that work. And then just develop the top. And I, you know, I'd only seen one of these, but I had looked at what was in the packet, and it was pretty vague. But I think your top is pretty dynamic. It'll be exciting to see your next iteration. 7,500-foot square-foot floor plates are, you know, pretty common north of here in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the Lloyd District, there was a strong desire when the development strategy was done to do point towers, real point towers, not 100 by 100 blocks.
Yes.
And I think this is going a long way to get there. And it's going to be conspicuous, and it's going to add to the crescent that's developing in terms of the city from the northeast all the way down to the southwest and south waterfront. And I think this is going to be a great member of that assemblage and that skyline that we're developing here in Portland. So, looking forward to you coming back. I don't know if you want to come back for another DA. Or if
we intend to. It's written into the DDA we're allowed to, as far as the PDC is concerned, just to make sure that we're dotting the I's and crossing the T's. I'd like to specifically address things like the material selections, window wall, and the effect of it, just to have that as if nothing more than the formal process, so that we're all on the same page when we come to the design review. If we have to go that direction, we'll be able to justify it legitimately at that point. I want to have that opportunity to discuss what it really looks like and have those details for you the next time around.
I think that's a great idea. Typically on here we have more studies.
Mm-hmm.
There's more work on all four sides of the building. Oh, and in fact, the east side of the building
needs work.
I don't get what that is. And
well,
I was looking at, I'm not sure, is that a flat concrete wall or what? You can talk about it when you come back. But typically we have a little more contextual development, a little more massing, and more work on different tops and facade scenarios. So it'd be great if you came back with refinements and stuff. I think it'd help everybody.
So it echoes, Lloyd kind of said it, but I think putting that in the context with the convention center hotel or the future one there and how those relate, and we've got light rail right there, and, you know, that's going to be critical here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is very, very exciting.
Well, that's one of the reasons.
Long overdue.
in terms of the placing of the tower mass on that corner, it's the approach corner for both streets, and mm-hmm. it is right on the light rail, so it does achieve that, you know, gateway landmark kind of status for the area from the mm-hmm. distance that's visible from the light rail. Yeah. And we think that's critical to the success of the site as well as the district. It's fun because the light rail stations are just one block east at 7th and one block west at the convention center. And on top of that, the last time we saw the Portland streetcar proposal for Grand Avenue, that stop is right outside our front door as well because they want to be able to make that connection to MAX. So it's very, very exciting, and we thank you for your input and your time this evening.
Yeah, in fact, I'm just going to look around. If anybody disagrees, say something, but the tower's in the right place. Yeah, okay. So, I mean, that would be a big thing if you came
Thank
back
you.
And someone had some other idea.
If staff, next time when they come back for the DA, if you could spend a minute on what are the real qualifying elements for that height bonus in terms of, I mean, how does it just list off? So we understand that.
Okay. Great job.
Thank you all very much.
The next case is LU 07-164-29.